Sparrowhawk nodded. Auron rode on until the beach was only a white line beneath the forests and the great green peaks. Sparrowhawk sat by the tiller, holding the wad of cloth to his shoulder, but paying no heed to it. Did a spear hit him? He jumped. But he couldn't swim. He was afraid of the water.
Aye. Mortally afraid.
He wanted to come to land.
Why did they attack us? Who are they?
They must have thought us enemies.
Will you give me a hand with this a moment?
Auron saw then that the cloth he held pressed against his shoulder was soaked and vivid. The spear had struck between the shoulder joint and collarbone, tearing one of the great veins so that it bled heavily. Under Sparrowhawk's direction, Auron tore strips from a linen shirt and made shift to bandage the wound. Sparrowhawk asked him for the spear, and when Auron laid it on his knees, he put his right hand over the blade, long and narrow like a willow leaf, of crudely hammered bronze. He made as if to speak, but after a minute he shook his head.
"I have no strength for spells," he said. "Later. It will be all right. Can you get us out of this bay, Auron?"
Silently the boy returned to the oars. He bent his back to the work, and soon, for there was strength in his smooth, lithe frame, he brought Lookfar out of the Crescent Bay into open water. The long noon calm of the reach lay on the sea. The sail hung slack. The sun glared through a veil of haze, and the green peaks seemed to shake and throb in the great heat. Sparrowhawk had stretched out in the bottom of the boat, his head propped against the thwart by the tiller. He lay still, lips and eyelids half parted. Auron did not like to look at his face, but stared over the boat's stern. Heat haze wavered above the water as if veils of cobweb were spun out over the sky. His arms trembled with fatigue, but he rowed on.
"Where are you taking us?" Sparrowhawk asked hoarsely, sitting up a little.
Turning, Auron saw the Crescent Bay curving its green arms about the boat once more, the white line of the beach ahead, and the mountains gathered in the air above. He had turned the boat around without knowing it.
"I can't row any more," he said, stowing the oars and going to crouch in the prow.
He kept thinking Sopley was behind him in the boat by the mast. They had been many days together, and his death had been too sudden, too reasonless to be understood. Nothing was to be understood. The boat hung swaying on the water, the sail slack on the spar. The tide, beginning to enter the bay, turned Lookfar slowly broadside to the current and pushed her by little nudges in and in, toward the distant white line of the beach. "Lookfar," the mage said caressingly, and a word or two in the old speech. And softly the boat rocked and nosed outward and slipped over the blazing sea away from the arms of the bay. But as slowly and softly, in less than an hour, she ceased to make way, and again the sail hung slack. Auron looked back in the boat and saw his companion lying as before, but his head had dropped back a little, and his eyes were closed. All this while, Auron had felt a heavy, sickly horror, which grew on him and held him from action, as if winding his body and mind in fine threads. No courage rose up in him to fight against the fear, only a kind of dull resentment against his lot. He should not let the boat drift here near the rocky shores of a land whose people attacked strangers. This was clear to his mind, but it did not mean much. What was he to do instead? Row the boat back to Roke? He was lost, utterly lost, beyond hope, in the vastness of the reach. He could never bring the boat back through those weeks of voyage to any friendly land. Only with the mage's guidance could he do it, and Sparrowhawk was hurt and helpless, as suddenly and meaninglessly as Sopley was dead. His face was changed, lax-featured and yellowish. He might be dying. Arryn thought that he should go move him under the awning to keep the sunlight off him and give him water. Men who had lost blood needed to drink, but they had been short of water for days. The barrel was almost empty. What did it matter? There was no good in anything. No use. The luck had run out. Hours went by. The sun beat down, and the grayish heat wrapped Arryn round. He sat, unmoving. A breath of cool passed across his forehead. He looked up. It was evening. The sun was down, the west dull red. Lookfar moved slowly under a mild breeze from the east, skirting the steep, wooded shores of Obahal. Arryn went back in the boat and looked after his companion, arranging him a pallet under the awning and giving him water to drink. He did these things hurriedly, keeping his eyes from the bandage, which was in need of changing, for the wound had not wholly ceased to bleed. Sparrowhawk, in the languor of weakness, did not speak. Even as he drank eagerly, his eyes closed and he slipped into sleep again, that being the greater thirst. He lay silent, and when in the darkness the breeze died, no mage wind replaced it, and again the boat rocked idly on the smooth, heaving water. But now the mountains that loomed to the right were black against a sky gorgeous with stars, and for a long time Arryn gazed at them. Their outlines